the latest health insurance and what kind of behemoth of a bill they've got in front of them over at the Capitol. Is it really going to move the line, so to speak, for you as an end user of health insurance? News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Let's now check in with a health insurance expert, Mr. Health Insurance himself, Mark Gerda. Mark, thanks for taking time with us again. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Happy spring.
Yeah, no kidding. First day of spring, and of course, with spring comes plenty of showers and storms, something that we're expecting here in the capital city. So we'll be opening things up a little bit later on the CT Adams Pest Control Listener Contact Line, 629-7970. But in the meantime, Mark, tell us what you hear from your clients when it comes to the biggest problems with the Affordable Care Act, and is this something that the GOP's putting together, something that'll actually solve some of those problems?
Well, first, let's review what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You had asked me about four main things, some really great questions. One, what would happen with Obamacare? Would it be forced? Expansion of HSAs and state lines. So let me just quickly say, this is Obamacare Lite. I agree with it. This is 2.0. You are still having an individual mandate. It's just that the taxes move down to zero. HSAs are expanded, and no on the state lines. Now, on to what I'm hearing right now from clients. First, there is nowhere near the intensity or compassion or passionate discussion that we had 8 years ago. People are very confused. It's very tough to digest. But for me, this bill does not, in my mind, at this time, meet the test of, let's say, the compassionate capitalist, someone who knows that the ACA is deeply flawed, but really wants to make sure that the less fortunate are taken care of. And I can address that specific point if you want to get into that.
Yeah, well, let's unpack some of the concerns that were there on why this was something that needed to be repealed, why the Affordable Care Act needed to be repealed. What were some of the chief concerns you had heard from some of your insurance customers looking at their monthly bill, looking at what kind of coverage they're actually getting with the ACA? What were some of those chief concerns?
Well, number one was the hyperinflation of premiums. Raising deductibles was just a defensive measure to sort of offset that. I think at least up in the Chicago area, the loss of carriers, the loss of access was an overwhelming problem. I want you to consider the fact that anybody in the Chicago area, and I know that's not your market, but one of the major hospital systems is Rush. There is no plan even offered that allows you to go there for an individual. I think that access is a problem. And so when you have that loss of access, those anywhere in the state or the country that are using, perhaps multiple healthcare systems are no longer have that option.
So some of the major things, price, lack of actual choice when it comes to health insurance. And also, Mark, I heard plenty of people just complaining, including myself, about the individual mandate and their ardent philosophical opposition to the government forcing people to purchase a private product. We're talking with Mark Gerda, Mr. Health Insurance, about the latest from the GOP. And as you said, it's Obamacare Lite. So what are some of the major things you don't like about the so-called Trump Care, Ryan Care, Obamacare Lite? What are some of the major things that you think need to be addressed?
And let's forget, while we live in Illinois, we try to have a more national view. But here in Illinois, we've got 25% of the population getting Medicaid. It's one quarter of the Illinois state budget. And while we expanded Medicaid, it just put more people into this system. The one particular item that I think is just offensive to me is that the bill requires Medicare recipients to requalify now every 6 months. And then once you're requalified, if there was a gap, it's only going to go back 30 days versus the current 90. Can you imagine having to file your tax return twice a year? Can you imagine, for those of you in your audience who have subsidies, who perhaps had to provide some documentation, report it not just once, but twice. I think this really picks on the less fortunate. The other thing that bothered me is I really think that the subsidies need to have a better litmus test of income, perhaps bring down that top line. Look, I'd like to give everybody free money. Don't we all want someone else to pay
for it?
But it just isn't there. And I think that those on the lower end are seeing a small, perhaps a larger burden. And that comes back to part of the talking points of fuzzy math from those that oppose the bill that I don't buy the $24 million being uninsured.
Yeah, and we'll get to the Congressional Budget Office's report that they put out last week concerning a review of so-called Ryan Care, Trump Care, Obamacare Lite. Either way, it's the Americans Health Care Act that the GOP is pushing. Right now, 844 with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. We're talking with Mr. Health Insurance, Mark Gerda, about the insurance bill here that's could come up for votes this week, as early as this week. But let's talk about the CBO's estimations. They said over 10 years, 24 million more Americans would be non-insured. But they also said, on the flip side, that this proposal could shave a third of $1 trillion. That's 333+ billion dollars it could be shaved from the deficit. Does this all jive with what you've been able to pick apart?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's actually a cut in spending from the federal government of $1.2 trillion.
Wow.
And there is additional spending of then 900, and I'm using rough numbers, what's 30 billion between friends nowadays.
Right.
But it's roughly $1.2 billion in spending cuts, 900 billion in new spending, and there you have your 300 billion.
It's pretty remarkable how all of the spending that happens for health insurance and health care, especially when you work in Medicaid and Medicare and whatnot. But when it comes to the fuzzy math here, is this true to actually look at the numbers and to isolate certain populations, or is there just a lot of politics going on when it comes to crunching the numbers?
So both. And I would encourage anybody who's really got a crystal ball that great, forget about the insurance business at all. Just head out to Vegas, pick their. But I do not have a crystal ball of exactly knowing what's going to happen. No one does. But the Congressional Budget Office report, I have some issue with the 24 million number. And so everyone's entitled to their opinion of how it will play out. But let me give you a couple of facts here about the bill. Under Ryan Care, the government actually over in 2018 and 2019 will actually add $87 billion to the deficit from current spending. In that same light, the CBO believes that 11 million people are going to drop insurance solely because there is no addition, there's no penalty tax. The mandate still exists, it's just that it would go to zero. I find it a little bit hard to fathom that I have to worry about 11 million people not taking something for free in this bill. Let's focus on the 13 million who really would lose insurance. Let's focus on the other perhaps 10 to 12 million that really will need additional help. I don't want this burden to fall to the least fortunate. I don't think most of my clients do either.
If you had a magic wand, Mark, what would you make happen for the health insurance industry? Would you open it up to kind of a la carte type of options? Would you open it up to cross state lines? What do you think is the best path forward as somebody who's an insurance expert, Mr. Health Insurance, right here? We've got him tapped in. What would you do if you were able to wave a magic wand?
Well, thanks, Craig. Yeah, thank you for giving me that power. For me, I think it really comes down to price transparency. We talked about this before. I don't know how you come up with any bill when you have roughly 80% of the population not being able to really understand what the cost model is. any fix, I think, has to start there. And while these insurance companies have lost money under the ACA, they've also doubled their profits in their non-ACA business. There's definitely mixed messages here. I'm not for bailing them out. It starts for me with clearing up the pricing. I'm not a favor of across state lines. I'm not in favor of a la carte, and let me tell you why. What ends up happening is that in an a la carte, in an across state lines, insurance benefits will flow down to the lowest common denominator. So whoever offers the worst plan is going to get the majority of the good risk business. Anyone who's gone out and tried to buy dental insurance or something that isn't really required, you'll find that the benefits in the first year or so are really tough. When you get into millions of dollars of potential benefits, I think it could really undermine. I like state control. I don't believe across state lines is in the best interest of most states.
Mark, if people want more information and maybe some of your analysis moving forward, what's the best channel they can plug into online?
So healthinsure.com, that's health and the word insure, insure.com. Best way to look up, you can go and see our blog or our Twitter posts. We're not huge bloggers. That isn't our mission. I really wish that people would understand, stop pointing fingers. You can get a grassroots movement to fix this, but it's so complex and there's so much anger. So, but our clients, we do our best for.
Greatly appreciate it. Mark Gerda, we'll talk again in the near future because this issue is far from over. There's no doubt.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate
Have a great week.
You too. News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY.